Turn with me to the book of Leviticus, chapter number 26. The book of Leviticus in the Old Testament, and gives us some things here. This is a fairly long chapter. It's 46 verses. We're not going to read all of it because we're not going to be preaching all the verses from that, but we'll be referring to some of these things throughout the message. And chapter 26 of Leviticus, God really is giving the people of Israel an ultimatum that they'll either obey Him or they will disobey Him. If they obey Him, there will be blessings in store. If they disobey, then there are problems that will be on the horizon for them. And so tonight we're going to be dealing with this subject of obedience and disobedience. The Bible says in 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 22, as a introductory note, you don't have to turn there, but the Bible says to obey is better than sacrifice. And then it goes on to say that rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. And so God, He deals very harshly with this thing of rebellion or opposing Him, not following the direction that He has given in His Word. He deals with that very harshly and brings judgment upon people because of disobedience. And so obedience is very important, and the Scripture tells us that it's better than sacrifice. Of course, that reference there in 1 Samuel is where Saul went out to kill the and had the battle, and he was told to destroy everything, and he did not. He took some of the animals and sacrificed them to God, and then the Lord came and rebuked him because of that, because he did not completely, utterly obey everything that the Lord told him to do. And the Lord says that sacrifice is one thing, but obedience is much better. And when we have rebellion in our heart, then it is a sin. It becomes a sin of witchcraft or a dealing with our lives and not serving the Lord to the fullest extent. So let us look here tonight in Leviticus chapter number 26, and we'll look at some of these first few verses and deal with this subject here that is dealt with in chapter 26. Verse number 1 says, "Ye shall make you no idols, nor graven image, neither rear your upstanding image, neither shall you set up anything of stone in your land to bow down unto it, for I am the Lord your God. Ye shall keep my Sabbaths and reverence my sanctuary, I am the Lord. If you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and do them," now here we begin in verse number 4, what God will do for them. He says, "If you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and do them, then I will give you rain in due season, and the land shall yield her increase, and the trees of the field shall yield their fruit. And your threshing shall reach unto the vintage, and the vintage shall reach unto the sowing time, and ye shall eat your bread to the full, and dwell in your land safely. I will give peace in the land, and ye shall lie down, and none shall make you afraid. And I will rid evil beasts out of the land, neither shall the sword go through your land. And ye shall chase your enemies, and they shall fall before you by the sword. And 5 of you shall chase 100, and 100 of you shall put 10,000 to flight, and your enemies shall fall before you by the sword. For I will have respect unto you and make you fruitful and multiply you and establish my covenant with you. And ye shall eat the old store and bring forth the old because of the new. And I will set my tabernacle among you, and my soul shall not abhor you. And I will walk among you, and will be your God, and ye shall be my people. I am the Lord your God, which brought you forth out of the land of Egypt, that ye should not be their bondsmen. And I have broken the bands of your yoke, and have made you to go upright." Now here we have the Lord speaking to the people of Israel, and He is dealing with this thing of obedience. Now if we were to take a few moments more and read on down from verse 14, you find that the Lord changes His speech here to the people of Israel. And He says in verse 14, "But if you will not hearken unto me." So there is the possibility of obedience, but then also there is a possibility of disobedience. There is the thing of obeying the Lord at His call, and then we can also disobey. And he says, if you will not hearken unto to me and will not do all those things commandment, and if ye shall despise my statutes, or if your soul abhor my judgments, so that ye will not do all my commandments, but that ye break my covenant, I also will do this unto you. And then from verse 16 on down through the remaining part of the chapter, God tells Israel, if they disobey him, this is what I will do. And so there is this whole chapter is concerning the subject of obedience and disobedience. There's two pathways that a person can take. There's two pathways that a church can take. There's two pathways that a nation may take. And it is the way of obedience that gives us happiness and health, and that is given to us in verses 1 through 13. And then there's the way of disobedience that's given to us from chapter 26, verse 16, on through verse 39 and on, of disobedience that brings unhappiness and heaviness and harm to the folks that will not obey the Lord. And so it's important that we understand that we must obey God, for obedience is better than sacrifice. Obedience is much better than anything else that He gives, that we have in our life, just to obey the Lord. Now, in verse number 1, 2, and 3, we find here the Lord gives them, a subject matter that they can put in their heart, and He tells them that they have no other God before Him. They are not to have a graven image set up. They are not to bow themselves to anyone else. And He tells them to refrain from idols. He tells them in verse number 1, says, ye shall make you no idols, nor graven image, neither rear you up a standing image, neither shall you set up an image of stone in your land to bow down unto it, for I am the Lord your God. There's the number one thing that God wants His people to understand, that He, as I mentioned this morning, He will not share His glory with anyone else. God is God, and so therefore we must have Him on the throne of our life, and He must be on the uppermost, and He is above all others. And here we find the Lord tells the people of Israel, first thing that they must do is to refrain from idols, because idolatry and worshiping other things than God brings our heart down and brings our life down to disobedience. But if we put the Lord on our heart and we put Him on the throne and keep Him there, then we will have a joy of life of serving the Lord. We will have a joyous time of just following what God has for us. So He tells them, first of all, do not have idols or refrain from idolatry. In verse number 2, He says, and shall keep my Sabbaths and reverence my sanctuary, I am the Lord. So number 2 thing, number 1, refrain from idols. Number 2 is to regard the Sabbath. To regard those days, those holy days that God had given to Israel, that they were to follow Him as a day of rest for them, as a day that they were to remember the creation of God's creation and how that He rested on the seventh day, and God gave that to Israel as a point of blessing unto them. So, verse 1, refrain from idols. Verse number 2, regard the Sabbath. And verse number 2, reverence the sanctuary, the house of God. Have reverence to the things of the Lord. There are some things that are holy. Now, I know we live in a time when nothing is holy. We live in a time when people don't regard anything as being holy or righteous. But God says here to Israel, and we can bring it over to our day and time, that the sanctuary of the Lord is a holy place. It is a place that we are to reverence, because in the days of Israel, this is where God met with His people. The Lord met with His people there in the tabernacle, and then later on in the temple, and the glory of God filled the place. And there He met with them, and so they were to understand that the sanctuary was a holy place. When Jesus came in His earthly ministry and they were selling turtle doves and all sorts of things in the temple, and the Bible tells us that He ran them out, He turned over the money changers' tables, and He took them out, and He says, my house shall be a house of prayer. You've made it a den of thieves. And He rebuked them for what they had turned the sanctuary into. And here He tells them to reverence the sanctuary. He says, I am the Lord. And then in verse number 3, He says, if you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments. Here we find he tells them that they are to respect God's law. So in these first three verses, God gives them these fundamental truths that they are to believe. And if they believe those things, if they put these things to heart, then what God gives them and the rest of it and obedience will be very easy for them. It's very difficult for a person that lives in disobedience to try to serve the Lord. Disobedience puts a barrier between us and God, and it puts a barrier between us and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so here God, in the very first three verses of this chapter, He removes all those things that will bring them down. He says, if you'll not have any idols, and if you will reverence the sanctuary, if you will respect the law, if you'll take care of the Sabbath, then God says the rest of it will be very easy. If you do those things, God says, then I will bless you. In verse number 4, He begins His statements here of His blessings. And this is what I want us to deal with tonight. And these verses through verse number 13, we could deal with the rest of it, and maybe we should sometime, and maybe we will, but tonight I want us to look at the path of obedience. The path that comes by way of us obeying the Lord. God gives them here what they are to do. The Scripture tells us how that we are to conduct ourselves, how we're to act, and how we're to regard the Lord. And if we will do that, He has promised to be with us. He's promised to bless us. And He's promised to help us. And the same thing that He did for the people of Israel. These were God's orders to Israel. And if they were to do them, God says, I'll do this for you. In these verses here that we'll be looking at, six times God says, I will. And the only reason God will is because we have obeyed the Lord and we have come into complete obedience unto Him. Now notice in verse number 4, here's the first I will. Then I will give you rain in due season, and the land shall yield her increase, and the trees of the field shall yield her fruit. God says, if you follow the command, if you follow the Word of God, if you regard these things in verse 1, 2, and 3, then He says, I will give you plenty of rain, a plentiful rainfall. He says, I will give you rain in due season. I'll give you the things, and the rain that comes to the land is to prepare the soil, and that first rain of the season begins to prepare the soil for the seed to go in so that there can be a harvest later on down months to come. But it takes the rain to do that. We are living right now in a drought time. We haven't had the rain that we normally have, and the ponds are drying up and the fields are dusty, and what little rain we got yesterday will be gone in a day or two, because I think we got about a fifth of an inch or something like that. Now, that's not a whole lot of rain, but the rain is to prepare the soil, and it's called the first rain, and when that prepares the soil for the seed to go in, then there's a harvest that comes, and of course the Lord talks about a latter rain, and that just takes care and matures the crop as it's already come up and is maturing. But the Lord has promised Israel here a plentiful rainfall. We would call those showers of blessings. We would call those blessings that God would give to the land so that it could yield its increase and yield its fruit. And by the way, God still controls everything that we have. And we think we have probably pretty much arrived, and the folks think they can tell you what's going to happen, and they're sometimes pretty good at it, sometimes they're not so good at it. But we've never come out to the understanding how that we can make it do what we want it to do in order for the fields to yield the increase. But God knows how to do that. And He told Israel, said, if you keep my commandments, if you reverence my name, and you keep me above the idols, then God says, I will give you plenty of rain. What He says here, I'm going to bless you so you can survive. I'm going to bless you with showers so that you can live and survive and go forward, and so that you can show the fruit of the land, because God has blessed you, and He's blessed you because of obedience. You see, the Lord can give and the Lord can take away. The Lord can send rain. The Lord can withhold rain. And the Lord can do these things as at his will because of obedience or disobedience. I can remember, and of course we don't live as much today in a agricultural part as maybe used to. The family farm is just about gone. It's all pretty much commercialized, and they farm thousands and thousands of acres. And the family farms are about gone, and they're no longer around. But I can remember when I was growing up that there was families that they had their livelihood based upon their crops and their food and that they would have. And if they was having a bad year, sometimes they'd get together and they'd pray that God would give them rain. They'd pray that God would help them, and they'd pray that the Lord would open up the windows of heaven and send forth the rain that was needed. We don't hear too much about that today, but God still controls that. God still handles that. God still has control of the atmosphere around us and the air that we breathe. And God told Israel, said, if you obey me, then I'll bless you. If you obey me, I will give to you the rain so that your fruit and your land may yield her increase, and the trees shall yield her fruit. So plenty of rainfall. That's one of the things God said he would do. He says, I will do that. Look in verse number 6. Now verse 5 just goes on, talks about the threshing and the vintage, and that shows the increase of the field because of the rain. But then in verse number 6, God says, I will give peace in the land, and ye shall lie down, and none shall make you afraid. Here we find that the Lord is going to give peaceful rest. He's going to give to them peace in their land. Peace and rest always, through the Scripture, has followed a people that were obedient unto Him. When folks and when nations were disobedient, then there was unrest and peace was taken from them, and wars and battles would take place. And here God says, now if you follow my directions, if you do what I tell you, if you just follow those three or four things there, those four things in verse 1, 2, and 3, God says, I will give you plenty of rain and I'll give you a peaceful rest. The land will not be in turmoil. The land will not be in battle. And there'll be rest to the land. He says there that I will give peace in the land, and ye shall lie down, and none shall make you afraid. And so here there's peace that comes. Psalm number 23 says, I will make you lie down in green pastures. He says, I'll give you waters to abide by and to have and to rejoice in. And so there's a rest that comes to the people of God when they're obedient unto the Lord. And here, this is the promise that God made to Israel. And he tells them here in that last verse, verse 13 that we read, I am the Lord your God, which brought you forth out of the land of Egypt, that ye should not be their bondsmen. And I have broken the bands of your yoke and made you to go upright. God said, I did this. I took you. I've taken you out of the land of bondage, and I've put you in your land. And now you are to obey me and to follow the direction and to follow the things that he has for them. So he says, first of all, I'll give your land rain, and it'll blossom and bloom and give forth fruit, and you will have the increase. And then he says, not only will the land have rain, but the land will have rest. There will not be any turmoil. And God says, I'll give you peace, and you can lie down at night and not be afraid. How many people are not able to do that today? You see folks, sometimes they have about 6 different locks on their door, and their windows are locked and they're sealed, and people are living in fear, especially in the larger cities, and they wouldn't dare go out at night. And it doesn't seem like we have peace in our land. Could it be because we have disobeyed the Lord? Very probable. And God told Israel, he said, if you follow me, if you put me and make those things right in your life, he said, I'll give you peace. You don't have to be afraid. And later on talks about his enemies falling at their feet. He says, I'll give you victory. I'll give you a powerful victory. In verse number 6, he also says, and I will rid evil beasts out of your land. Neither shall the sword go through your land, and ye shall chase your enemies, and they shall fall before you by the sword. God said, I'll give you the ability to chase the enemy off. I'll give you the ability to be able to rid the evil beast out of the land, and so that you do not have to fear. God is taking care of everything about the life and the livelihood of the people of Israel there in their land. God said, but you have to obey me. You must obey disobedience is not tolerated by the Lord. It's as the sin of witchcraft. And when we disobey, if we will not do that, and we'll read a few of those verses in a moment, if we don't do that, then God says, I'll bring judgment upon you because of your disobedience. So He gives them plenty of rain. He gives them a peaceful rest. He gives them powerful victory. He'll rid the evil beast, and they can be a strong nation. He tells them here in verse number 8 that five of you shall chase 100, and 100 shall put 10,000 to flight, and your enemies shall fall before you by the sword. So God says, I'm going to give you victory. And what a wonderful thing it is to have a powerful victory. And the people of Israel began to have such a name that God had been their deliverer that some of the people around them didn't even want them to pass through their land because they were fearful of them. That was all because God said, I'll do that for you. There will not be any beast that will hurt you, and you'll put to flight your enemy. Pretty good totals here. What does he say? Five shall chase 100. That's a little bit uneven. So there'll be five of us. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Can put 100 to flight. That's the power of God. That's the presence of the Lord. And then he says, 100 of you shall put 10,000 to flight. So 100 people, 100 of the people of God can run 10,000 off, and God will keep them safe and God will keep them secure. I'd say God was giving them a powerful victory. Whatever was coming their way, God would bless them and He would give them victory. So plenty of rain, powerful rest, peaceful rest, and powerful victory. Now let's look in verse number 9. For I will have respect unto you, and make you fruitful, and multiply you, and establish my covenant. And ye shall eat the old store, and shall bring forth the old because of the new. Verse number 9, God says, I'm going to give you prosperous supply. He says here, I will have respect unto you. It's a wonderful thing for God to say, I respect you. It's a great thing for God to give reference to an individual and say, I respect you for what you are. You see, there are some people in my personal life that I have high regard. I respect them because of who they are. And probably you have some folks, and I'm sure all of you have someone that you respect because of who they are, and they say what they say, and they believe, and they live by what they say. And so therefore you respect them. Well, God says to Israel, I'll have respect to you. He says there, I will have respect unto you and make you fruitful. God says there's no way out of being fruitful. God says I'm going to make you fruitful because I respect you, and I will multiply you, and I will establish my covenant with you. I'll give you abundant supply of all the things that you have need of. What a prosperous supply. Faithfulness brings forth fruitfulness. A person that is faithful to the Lord and obedient to God, he has the promise of the Lord that God will prosper him. Prosperity, provision, protection, promotion. All those things God has promised to the people of Israel if they regard, if they respect, if they take care of those things the Lord has set up to be very, very important. You see, these things in verse 1, 2, and 3, these are important things to God. The first thing, above all, is no idols. God says it's important that you believe and trust me and no one else. Have no other gods before me. He tells them it's important that they listen and they keep the Sabbath and reverence the sanctuary. It's important to God that they walk in the statutes and the laws and the regulations that God has given them. That is the underlying issue. God says, here's four things. If you do them, then I'm going to abundantly supply and give you everything that's needed, and I'm going to prosper your way, and I'm going to protect you, and I'm going to give you provision. And then he said, I'm going to promote you. You just go forward, and God will bless. What a wonderful thing to be obedient to the Lord. Whether we're young adults or middle-aged or older, it's a wonderful thing to be obedient to God. You see, God doesn't tell us that there's only certain times we can be obedient. God tells us we can be obedient all the time. We can follow Him all the days of our life. And so He tells them here, I'll give you prosperity, or I'll give you prosperous supply. Verse number 11, "And I will set my tabernacle among you." The word tabernacle means dwelling place. God said, "I'll dwell with you." Well, what a wonderful thought, that God would dwell with mankind. God created us. God made us out of the dust of the earth. We are made in the image of God. And then God says, "I'll dwell with you. I'll give you a place of worship. I'll give you a place. I'll give you a tabernacle." He says there, "I'll give you a tabernacle among you, and my soul shall not abhor you. I will love you. I will take care of you." And God has always desired that His people love Him and tabernacle among Him. The dwelling place of the Lord, the place of worship. This is a place that He had arranged, the tabernacle. You see, all the way through the Bible, we have God has a specific place for people to worship Him. As they traveled through the wilderness, they had the tabernacle. They would set it up for a while, and as they traveled, they would take it down and they'd move it, and the glory of God would come down. They'd set it up for a while and they'd move it. It was a tabernacle. It was a temporary dwelling place of the Lord. Then when they get in their land and have some time, God ordains that they would have a temple. And, of course, we know the story between David. David desired to build the temple. God wouldn't let him do that because David was a man of war. David prepared everything for the temple, and Solomon, his son, of course, built it. One of the most magnificent, probably the most magnificent building that's ever been erected upon the face of God's earth. And God said, "This is where I dwell with my people." But now, we come down to the New Testament. God still has a dwelling place. We have an outward appearance of a church. We have an outward appearance that this is where God meets with His people. But you know, it's a little closer than that. For we are His tabernacle. We are His temple. The Bible says that we have been bought with a price. We're no longer our own, and that we are His place of dwelling. And the Holy Spirit came in one day when we trusted Him, when we got saved, and the Spirit of God came in and took up His dwelling, or He took up His tabernacling among us. When God dwells with us, and He says to the Israel, He said, "I'll give you a place of worship. I'll give you a place where that you can serve the Lord." But they couldn't have that with their idols. And that's how Israel got into some very difficult and dangerous times, because they had leaders that would take them the wrong direction. They had people that would set up high places. And they'd set up the groves, and you read about those in the Old Testament, and how that they would go there and they would offer sacrifice, and they would offer blood sacrifice to idols. And Israel had gone the wrong direction, and war came in, and God destroyed them because of that. He said, "But if you obey me, I'll give you a place to serve. I'll give you a place to tabernacle. I'll give you a place of worship." In verse number 12, "And I will walk among you." Here we find the pleasant communion with God, the walking with the Lord. "I will walk among you and will be your God, and ye shall be my people." What a covenant. What a promise. God says, if you do these things, just four simple things, verse 1, 2, and 3. If you do those things, God said, "I'll walk with you. I'll be your God. I'll give you plenty of rain, I'll prosper you, and I'll give you victory, and I'll give you a place of worship," and all those things that we've looked at. And God said, but lastly, He said, "We'll just have pleasant communion. We'll walk together." The Bible says in the book of Genesis that in the cool of the day, God came walking in the garden. I believe there had been times before that God walked with Adam and Eve and had great fellowship and communion with them, and now it has been broken because of sin. Sin has entered in, and now God says, "Adam, where art thou?" And Adam says, "We've hid ourselves because we're naked." And God said, "Who told you he's naked? Hadn't bothered you before." They've sinned, and now their eyes have been opened to the ungodliness of their heart and the deception of the wicked one, and communion has been broken and fellowship has been severed. Oh, but thank God there's a way of that fellowship and communion can be brought back together, and that's through the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And so God tells them here, He said, "These are just simple blessings that I will give you. These are simple things that I will bestow upon you if you obey." But now let's just for sake of wondering what God says on the other side. Let's look at verse number 14. You ought to circle this first word, but. He says, but if ye will not hearken unto me. If you will not do, verse 1, 2, and 3. If you will not refrain from idols, if you will not regard the Sabbath, if you do not reverence the sanctuary, if you do not respect the law, God says, here's what will happen. If you will not hearken unto me and will not do these commandments, and if you shall despise my statutes, and if your soul abhor my judgments, so that ye will not do all my commandments, but that ye have break my covenant, I also will do this unto you. Just as there is the grace of God, there is the wrath of God. Just as there's the love of God on one side, there is the wrath of God on the other side. And the love of God is bestowed upon us when we obey Him, and the wrath of God comes upon us when we disobey Him. So if you don't do this, He says, here's what's going to take place. I also will do this unto you. I will even appoint over you terror, consumption, and the burning ague, and shall consume the eyes and cause sorrow of heart, and ye shall sow your seed in vain, and your enemies shall eat it. Now God told them, first of all, that He'd give them plenty of rain so they could sow their seed and have abundant fruit. Now God says, if you sow it, your enemy's going to eat it. God told them, said, I'll run your enemies out. Five of you will send 100 off, and 100 will send 10,000 to flight. But now God says, if you don't obey me, then your enemy's going to come and consume what you've given and what you have. He says in verse 17, I will set my face against you, and ye shall be slain before your enemies, and they that hate you shall reign over you, and ye shall flee, and none pursueth you. You're going to run. A whole lot of different things here. Here's a total different thought that God gives. So He says, first of all, I'm going to withhold, and what you have will be taken by somebody else. Your enemies that you would be able to send to flight, now they're going to pursue after you. They're going to make you run. They're going to have you on the flight. Verse 18, and if ye will not yet for all this hearken unto me, then will I punish you seven times more for your sins. I will break the pride of your power, and I will make your heaven as iron, and your earth as brass. And your strength shall be spent in vain, and your land shall not yield her increase, neither shall the trees of the land yield her fruits. God says there's judgment comes when we disobey. And you can read all the way down the rest of these, at least down through verse number 39, and God says there's judgment that follows when we do not obey God. I know this is an Old Testament account. I know it's dealing with the Jew. But I believe everything in the Scripture is given for our admonition that we can apply it to our life. There's nothing wrong with applying this, making application. There is the interpretation, and the interpretation is that God's talking to the Jew. God's talking to His people, and He gave them special covenants and special promises, and it's not for us. And God didn't give it to the Gentile. He gave it to the Jew. And so that's the primary interpretation, but there's always a personal application. Now, the personal application here is for us as a nation, or we could bring it down closer than that, us as an individual. That God says, if you don't obey me, there's going to be trouble that follows. If you don't obey me, then there's going to be peace taken from you. And He says, I'll not hearken unto you, and I'll punish you seven times for your sins. He says in verse 21, if you walk contrary to me and will not hearken unto me, I will bring seven times more plagues upon you according to your sins. And I will send wild beasts. Now remember, He said earlier that He'd take the wild beast out. Now He says, I'll send the wild beast among you, and which shall rob you of your children and destroy your cattle and make you few in number, and your highway shall be desolate. God says, just the wild beast I can handle and take care of everything you have need of. I can take your children, I can take your lands, and the wild beast can destroy and take away your cattle, and you'll become few in number, and your highways are desolate, fearful to travel. See, God has power, and He can handle and do as He pleases. He says in verse number 23, "And if you will not reform by me by these things, but will walk contrary unto me, then will I also walk contrary to you." Down here earlier, God says, "I'll walk with you. We'll have communion together." Now God says, "I'll walk contrary to you. I'll walk in opposition to you." I don't know about anybody else, but I don't want the Lord walking in opposition to me. We need to walk with the Lord and He with us and have the blessings of the Lord. And so on and on it goes. It comes down to two words. It comes down to obedience or disobedience. It comes down to doing what God says or doing what we desire to do. Two pathways here in chapter 26. There's the pathway of obedience that brings happiness and health and joy. And there's the way of disobedience that brings unhappiness, heaviness, and harm. Which way will we walk? Which direction do we go? Well, it has to be that we have no idols. It has to be that we regard the day of the Lord. In Israel's day, it was the Sabbath, the seventh day. In our day, the New Testament, it's the Lord's day, the eighth day, the day of new beginnings, the day in which the Lord arose from the dead. We call it Sunday. Really, a better term for that is the Lord's day. Our days of the week are named after different things that we wouldn't want to even talk about, probably. But the Lord's day, the first day of the week, the Lord has chosen that we come together and we worship it. We're to regard that. We're to take care of that. We're to reverence the house of God and we're to respect God's law. And so we make application. If we'll do those things, God has promised that He will bless us. He'll send us plenty of rain. He'll send us supply. He'll give us rest. He'll give us victory. He'll give us a place to worship and we'll have communion with Him. That's if we obey. But if we disobey, God says, "I'll walk contrary to you. I'll let the beast come and I'll let you be devoured." And you can go on and on these different verses here, what He says He would do. He says in verse 32, "I will bring the land into desolation, and your enemies which dwell therein shall be astonished at it." Well, even your enemies will be surprised at how God has destroyed you. And so we have a recipe here for victory. This comes down to one word: obey. It is better to obey than sacrifice. For rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft, and it will be dealt with very harshly by the God of heaven. And He says, "I'll take away all your peace, I'll take away all your good things, and your enemies shall overrun you, and they will even be astonished at your defeat." I don't know where we're headed as a world, other than I know Jesus is coming. And I know because of rebellion, one day this world will stand before a holy and righteous God, and He'll judge this world because of righteousness and truth. And He'll judge them because they've rejected the way of God. And then that rejection, He has taken away all those blessings that could have been theirs. But I'm glad tonight, as a believer, as a Christian, those blessings are ours. But even then, if we do not obey Him, He can withhold. And He can bring about sorrow, can bring about turmoil. He can even bring tragedy in our life if we do not obey the Lord. So it's an important thing. It's a serious thing to serve God, to be right with the Lord, and to serve Him the best of our ability, to be obedient. The New Testament says, just be found faithful. If we'll be that, God will bless us, and God will help us, and God will increase us. And our prosperity and our ways will be a blessing unto the Lord. It's all because of Him. Let's stand together.